Welcome to Riverbend Cowan on WBGZ. Brought to you by The Halpin Music Company.
Yeah. And by Matt Van Voorhis of Macias Insurance Needs, taken care of by Matt Van Voorhis. Are all your music instrument needs taken care of by Halpin there?
And WBGZ Alton, the legal idea, would have been taken care of by you, but I cut it off.
Nah.
That was my bad. I was teaching and thinking at the same time.
Teaching and preaching. A little bit of screeching.
I don't want to preach.
Another Thursday night in the Riverbend area. A little bit of a wet Thursday, man. That leftover hurricane hitting us.
Oh, no, leaves are falling.
So Thursday night means one thing, you know, for sure.
This time it's a big deal.
What's a big deal?
Our guest tonight.
I was going to go straight into the sea shanties, and I almost forgot.
We got to keep people listening for this one.
We've got Frankie Muriel.
Yeah.
And Frankie...
Muriel.
Muriel!
The first time
I met Frankie was... He was with a band called Broken Toys.
Yes.
Way back in the day.
Back when Smash was rocking out with the bands.
That's right.
MTV, early days.
Early days of MTV, man. And Broken Toys played right here in Alton at the Granny's Rocker. They played at the Edwardsville Granny before that. And then when the Alton one opened up, they were the house band Sunday after Sundays. They were there forever. And then what did they do next? They changed their name.
Not too many toys. They'll talk about all that, I think.
They changed their name to King of the Hill. That's what a lot of people are going to remember Frankie.
All one word, though.
King of the Hill.
Right.
King of the Hill. That's big hits, big tours, big MTV videos. And currently he's in a band called Dr. Gervais. Past 25 years?
25.
They will be playing. We're going to talk a little bit about it later, but they're going to be playing at the Third Shoot in Alton this Saturday for the Halloween party.
As far as we know at this moment, which we have to say up front, because once again, what do they call them, mitigations?
Look, they're going to take the fine.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I know a lot of businesses
I'm smelling that. Through my mask on that one.
I know a lot of businesses are just taking the fine. I heard the Illinois basketball, high school basketball, were like, nah, we're going to play anyway.
There's a different threat on this one, though. He has threatened to take liquor licenses.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Can you believe it? Oh, I'm helping small business. But
yeah, that's tough. So there you go. Anyway, if it's happening, and let's just keep our fingers crossed. Dr. Gervais, 8 p.m., Third Shoot in the Alton. And we'll be talking to Frankie. We've got about over a half an hour of just chatting with Frankie about what he's done in his ride, man. What he's done, where he's been, where he's going.
How long is it?
All that stuff. Oh, it's about 32 minutes long.
Okay.
So
okay.
There you go. Just over half an hour. So in the meantime.
Yeah. We'll start off with announcing that announced on our show for the first time that the Alton Symphony Orchestra's Young Artist Competition, still getting warmed up. This competition, also known as the ASO's Young Artist Competition, is designed to recognize talented young musicians by providing them with scholarship awards to further their musical education, as well as offer them the opportunity to perform in concert with the Alton Symphony Orchestra. And there's two different ones. Contestants 12 years of age and younger are eligible for the Deborah Fox Guild Award. And because it's 2020 and all this stuff we've been dealing with this year, it's video submission only. The ASO is committed to the health and safety of all its members and participants in our educational outreach programs. Video submissions will be on the form application page, which we have a link to at cottonmouth.org, or you can check out the Alton Symphony Orchestra's website. The deadline for applications, payment, score submission, and video is Friday, November 20, 2020.
There you go.
At 11:59 p.m., so you can wait till 11:58 and hit enter. See if the connection's good.
You better hope. Cross your fingers.
Well, there's a lot of guys like you who'll wait till the last minute.
Yeah,
Are you going to submit a video?
I'm not... 12 years or
something. No, that's one of two awards. Oh, yeah. The other one is for the older kids, young artists.
I am definitely a juvenile at heart, so maybe they'll let me in. But yeah, I'm not sure if these are the same ones. I know every year at the Alton Orchestra, the school orchestra things, they always give those scholarships out where they pick two or three kids. And I've actually known several kids who have won them in the past years. And it's like, man, what a great way to keep music rolling. Because if we don't teach these kids to play music, there will be no music in the future that's worth listening to. So
right. That's why I constantly bombard kids with Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath matters.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know it. Thanks so much to the Alton Symphony Orchestra for doing that.
And, the bands play Black Sabbath now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. School.
I never would have thought that would happen.
The first time I saw a marching band at halftime do War Pigs, I was like, are you kidding me? No.
You've seen War Pigs. I've seen Iron Man.
Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Paranoid would be an easy one. Yep. I could do that.
Yeah, maybe.
I love it when I do see those.
They got bass
those.
Players and drummers and stuff in their bands now.
Yeah, it's
guys standing out front with a bass guitar. I would have went to band for that.
Andrew Robertson last year was playing the full drum kit at the not just a snare or a kettle drum or anything. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, I got a set. I'll play it if you let me bring it. And that was cool to see him having a full kit out on the orchestra.
When I interviewed Rick Birdsong for the first time, he let me know that in 75, well, it'd be the early 70s, whenever they started. I think they were younger than that. That's when they graduated. But they were a member of one of the first, if not the first, stage bands at Civic Memorial High School. So it's kind of a modern thing, I guess.
I guess so.
Well, 75, modern to me. I'm just saying. That's old days for Smash. He was like probably about 45 by then.
Come on. Oh, don't say that about my sexy smashy.
I just know he's listening on his way home, so I'm messing with him today a little bit.
He's like, those jerks.
He'll get us back.
Those jerks.
He's on before us. He knows his stick.
He'll get us.
We're due. Go for it, Mr. Smash. I deserve it.
Asher Ben Ruby, that was Dennis throwing down the gauntlet. Me, I'm afraid of you. I've gotten a fist fight with him once, and I learned something. He doesn't fight fair. That's what I learned about him. I thought I could beat him in a fair fight, and what I didn't take into account is he doesn't fight fair. He's an ear biter. I don't know. Poor Smash, just trying to enjoy his drive home after
that,
work.
Did you see Mike Tyson's going to go at it again?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He's going to fight.
Who's going to fight him? Some earless guy?
I was listening to the Trailer Park Boys podcast, and they was wanting to see who'd win in a fight between Steven Seagal and Mike Tyson. Couple old dudes going at
it. Steven Seagal and Mike Tyson. I'd tell Steven Seagal, watch out. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. That dude's built like a fire plug still, Mr. Tyson.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that's, that's pretty insane like to think to about. I think I would pay for that for pay-per-view.
All doing a sea shanty sing-along at Morrison's Irish Pub on a Thursday night. I would pay money for that.
I'd lay down my 5 shillings to see that one.
And I'd definitely put my money on Smash for that one. He's got the vocals.
He's got the vocals, man.
No.
I don't know. Mike Tyson might sing really good. We don't even know how he sings.
He might.
You know, that's ludicrous to think.
Natural harmony
sing.
With Smash. Right. But yeah, every Thursday night, Sea Shanty sing along at Morrison's Irish Pub. Also tonight, we think, once again,
yes,
everything's changing by the minute.
We're going to go with tonight's hat.
Yeah. That's why we're going with the Lynx. Yeah, because it took place Wednesday in our region. So, anyways, open mic night is usually going on at Raging Cajun in Alton. Thursdays.
We've got Cross the Line from 6 to 10 p.m. tonight down at Fast Eddie's Bonair.
And Prairie Inn, that's an outdoor heated place, so that's probably going on. The patio, Dave Horton Acoustic, 6 o'clock, kicked off up there in Dorsey.
It's a Thursday night.
Oh, wait a minute. I know there's something going on at George's Local Brew, but for some reason I didn't get it on here.
Well, you know what's going on? A good time. That's what's going on at yours, yeah. Local Brew.
Yeah. I want to say it's a Grand Band.
You know what? I almost feel like I almost feel like it is going to be.
I thought for sure that's what I typed in earlier.
So yeah. Hey Graham, call us and let us know.
I'm pretty sure it's a Grand Band. He's already playing. No, it's 7. He got time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go, man.
There's your Thursday. Yeah.
Not as far as we know. Thursday for a pandemic.
And there could be more added. So, there's lots of links with nothing on them. This week, just the bar, so you can at any moment if you're nearby, just click on and see before you decide to enter.
Yeah, right on your phone. Just go to cottonmouth.org and all the gigs come up first. And if you're curious if something's happening, click the link and it should show you whether it's happening or not.
So we'll move to Friday night with Shea Maryland's. And they'll have Anthony Hall, John Francis, and Lisa Everhart. 8 o'clock on Friday night, followed by Mila Duff. No, that wouldn't be followed by, would it be?
I wouldn't
She's
think
over
so.
At Morrison's Irish Pub. Yeah. 6 o'clock, Mila Duffy. On Friday, Terioke at the Third Shoot, getting ready for the big Dr. Shebega show. So they'll just do Terioke on Friday night. Up all night at Fast Eddie's, 2-piece. From 8 to 11 at Baker's and Hale and Godfrey. Hicktown was scheduled for Deutz, but that one's canceled. Just to show there really has been some cancellations.
Can I do the next one?
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Lee Roth. Oh, I added the Lee in there. It's just Daniel Roth.
Yeah.
Daniel Roth, 6 p.m. at Reese's Brewery in Edwardsville. If I was him, I would add a Lee for the middle name just because,
Why not?
I would.
Woo-hoo! We got the Moose River Festival for MRF. So
there you go, man.
Maybe you just change it to DLR. Right?
Well, here we go. The Double Y Duo. That's another good name. Double Y Duo at the Cabin at Judy Creek in Glen Carbon tonight.
6
Friday
o'clock
night.
Start on Friday. Yep. Yeah. Flip the Frog, 8:30 p.m. at the Copper Stills and Mash in Carrollton. On Friday night, 8:30.
There you go.
So there's your Friday. See, we're flying through them because we're skipping a lot of them.
Copper Stills and Mash. That's a pretty good name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Wonder if Copper's suing Stills and Mash. you have to wonder.
Right now, if Terry Rogers Jones is listening. he's laughing at that joke right now.
Take it safe, Terry.
There you go.
We
got to
have
man.
You back on when we need material.
Copper Stills and Mash. Okay. And sometimes what? Yeast?
Maybe.
Why didn't they put that in there?
I never tried to make that stuff.
I don't know. Anyway, let's do our Saturday evening. Saturday, October 31st, Halloween, Night of the Dead.
Everyone's having a Halloween party, including Morrison's Irish Pub.
All right.
Paul Kruta going to be there from 6 to 10.
Paul Kruta.
That's right. The number 4 a combo canceled. 8 p.m. at Shea Maryland's in Alton. I've done that in the drive-thru. Let me cancel that number 4 combo.
Oh, man. Can I turn that to a number 6 with cheese?
Well, when they read it back, it doesn't sound as good.
Right. So, it sounded fine. I looked at the picture and ordered it from the picture, but when you say it back to me, I really don't want it. It always sounds a little like Charlie Brown's teacher on, walk, 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 walk. Yeah. We got, Saturday night, October 31st, Halloween night, we have Anthony Nanny and Company, 1 to 5 p.m., and then up all night from 6 to 10 p.m. at Fast Eddie's.
Our guest tonight, Frankie Mural. We've been talking about the Halloween party at Third Shoot in Alton on Saturday with Dr.
Javegas.
Yeah, 25 years now.
Man, that's insane.
It is.
I mean, I could say 25 years ago, I would think, King of the Hill that time, but Dr. Javegas, man, good time is flying by, that's all I'm saying. Halloween on the patio at Baker's and Hale, and that's with Jay Hollinger and Anthony Nanny, 6:30 to 10:30. Man, Baker's and Hale, just ate there last weekend. Great food. Went to see a concert last weekend. Meant to bring that up earlier. I want to give props to the guy who did it. In this current climate, social climate that we're in, it is tough to throw a concert. And that's the guy, he's running a place called The Lot. It's a parking lot right across from Bush Stadium over mm-hmm. there. Nice, big, really thick pieces of AstroTurf that you right. stand on.
Right. And little squares.
Yeah, squares. Four people to a square. Mm-hmm. I never once was close to anybody that wasn't in my square. The closest you came was you ordered drinks on your phone, and some waitress would come set them down outside your pod that you could pick them up.
I guess if you don't have a phone, then you can't order drinks.
Yeah, I guess you're
I wouldn't be able to get drinks.
I guess you're in trouble there. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was great use of technology to do that, to keep, because you can't have a line
you
at the bar.
You can do that movie theaters now, too.
I know, it's insane. But I
thought
he
serve did a, stuff, you know.
Yeah, John Youngerman with JMO Productions did a fine job over there, so I just wanted to give a shout out to him
seen?
On that. I saw Neil Francis in the band was who we saw. John Youngerman is the promoter, the guy who sets all those shows up at The Lot, and stopped and talked to me for a minute in my pod. I thought he was doing a fine job. Just wanted to mention that.
Did you have to text him to have him come over and talk to you?
No, he just saw me and stopped over.
What if there's someone like two boxes over there you want to talk to?
You're not supposed to. It's in the rules.
But can you text him?
You can text him.
Okay.
Or you can holler from pod to
you
pod.
You can holler from pod to pod.
Yeah.
Did they give you bullhorns? I guess not.
They did not. I took my own. I was prepared. The band hated it that I had a bullhorn while they were playing, though. Mm. But anyway, the reason I thought of that is because after the show, I went to Baker's and Hale and ate. And when we were reading that about Baker's and Hale, I thought, wow, great food there. Anyway, onward and upward, Flip the Frog at the Sunset Grill in Godfrey on Saturday, Halloween night.
Mm-hmm. Gabby and the band. You don't always see him with the band.
Yeah. And the band?
Yeah, the band.
Holy smoke.
That's right. I don't know how they did it.
They're bringing Levon Helms back from the dead.
You got that right. It's Halloween, baby.
Oh, man. We got a ghostly Richard Emmanuel. That's awesome. I didn't think about doing that.
That's at the MWRF.
The Moose.
Wood River
Festival.
I'm trying
you
to
threw
change
a W.
Well, you know, because the other one was Edwardsville.
Oh man, that's great.
So Gabby and the band, 6 p.m. at the Moose in Wood River on Saturday. You like to dress up, Halloween costume party with two piece.
You don't have to ask. I love to dress
7
up.
7 to
you
10
know
at George's Local Brew. I wasn't talking to you. At George's Local Brew in Jerseyville. Let's talk to the listeners, important ones.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you want to know where there's a costume party before you go out in your costume.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, you don't, but some people want to know. Right.
I like to wear a cape everywhere I go. Cape and a mask.
Yeah.
We got Catfish Willie, 1 p.m., and then the Comancheros.
Right.
Tulsa, Oklahoma's favorite heavy and western band.
Right.
Heavy and western. I love it. That's at the Hog Pit in Grafton, Illinois.
Wait till you see what they're doing Sunday at the Hog Pit.
Oh, I can't
wait. I'm teasing you there.
Oh my gosh. Is it going to be a drag show? Mm-hmm.
They got, well, it might be. They might have to drag a few of them off the field from injuries. But
oh, no. That sounds insane.
Yeah, it's going to be intense on Sunday. Whew, they're throwing down, man.
We better get to it. Terry Beck, 3 to 7 p.m. Saturday at the Grafton Winery.
Our buddy, Big George Brock Jr., we talked about it when he was on the air in the NGK band, 3 p.m. at the Loading Dock in Grafton.
Man, that'd be a heck of a Halloween party going on there. If you like
well, that's
the
where
dance.
You start at 3.
Yeah.
And then, look, there's a couple other ones up there.
Yeah.
Jerseyville.
The Intrusion, 6 p.m., Rustic Retreats Gold Bar in Grafton, Illinois on Saturday evening.
And they're playing like a private party after that.
Wow.
So they might be starting a little earlier than 6.
Staying busy.
So, yeah.
We got the Monster Mash Bash.
With?
They did the mash. So the Monster Mash Bash with Vote for Pedro.
I wonder how many write-ins they'll get this election. Vote for Pedro.
Oh, I'm voting for Pedro.
6 to 10 at Bella Vista Winery in Maryville.
Then we have Dave Horton Acoustic Country at the Foundry in Edwardsville Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm. Matt Powell at the Cabin at Judy Creek and Jim Glenn Carbon. I'm stumbling today.
We got Ten String Dream, 4 p.m. at the Old Harold Brewery in Collinsville, Illinois on Saturday, Halloween evening.
Halloween benefit bash for cancer patient Matt Otis Devers of Mo Pleasure.
Oh.
And that'll be at noon with Mo Pleasure playing from 3 to 6 at Prairie Inn and Dorsey.
And we have Hicktown canceled, Power Trip. 8 p.m. at Corner Keg and Highland. Them guys still going at it.
Yeah.
Power Trip.
That's P period O period W period E period R period T period R period I period P period. Which means something, but I can never remember what it means.
People of the Witness Interface.
I'm
just looking at stuff.
Well, because, you know, there's other power trips, but
right. That's
how they identify themselves with periods. I thought it was brilliant.
I can't remember what the power part stands for, but I remember what the trip part stands
no,
for.
No, you don't.
Okay, I don't.
All right, so that takes us to Sunday. We're flying through this, but we're also running short, aren't we?
Well, yeah. We got to get to Frankie Muriel.
Coming up in just a bit.
Dr. Vegas.
That's right. And King of the Hill.
And Broken Toys.
There's something about a party in my pocket or something.
I think so. I got a party in my pocket right now. Yeah, open mic night on Sunday with Paul Light, 3 p.m. at Shea, Maryland, down in
It's always good
downtown.
To keep a party in your pocket.
I
never
try
know
to.
When you have to break it out.
I tried. It's expensive to walk around with a party in your pocket.
It could be,
day.
Especially if you get in trouble for it.
But I do my best. What else we got going on Sunday? Anthony Nanny and Company, 1 to 5 p.m., and then Cross the Line, 6 to 10 p.m., down at Fast Eddie's Bone Air in Alton.
And Rockabilly Revival, 2 to 6 at the Grafton Winery, and here's what I was teasing you about. So,
all right,
so
here we go.
So going on Sunday, it's the Softball Slugger Softball Game, the Musicians versus the Bar Owners. Musicians versus the bar owners.
I love it.
Yeah. Lead Sled putting this on.
Nice. Good thinking, boys.
And 100% of the proceeds raised will go to Jersey County CASA. So that's at 2 o'clock.
CASA.
And I'm not sure. They didn't say the location, but somewhere near the Hog Pit, I assume.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's sponsored by the Hog Pit, so I would think it might be down
there. Well, I looked through there, but I really couldn't figure out, you know.
I would think the Hog Pit would want to have it as close as possible so the thirsty players would come and get drinks there. But what a great idea. Bar owners versus the musicians. That sounds like a good time right there.
That might be some vengeance coming out in that one. You know what I mean? Shorted you or something, you know, you're going to...
Maybe.
You're going to line one back up the middle if he's on the mound.
It's not going to be like the guards versus the prisoners type intense, but...
It's church league softball fist fight. To quote Tim Wilson. That's what I think
church
is going
league,
on.
Softball.
A high hard one on the 0-2. Coming here.
Oh, the high hard one for sure.
At a bar owner, probably from a band member.
Oh man.
Just saying, owners, if you've crossed the bands, they're looking for you.
What about the band that always promised they'd bring a crowd and never did? There might be some bar owners trying to mow some people down,
I'm
too.
I'm trying to take the band side here.
I take everybody's side. I'm on everybody's side except maybe my own. I don't know. What else have we got going on?
Well, we only
this
got
Sunday?
One more.
What is it?
Roland, how do you say that?
Roland Creaky.
Okay.
And John Feldman. I don't know. I'm rolling with it.
Corey Feldman's uncle.
This uncle to Corey Feldman, son of Jim Feldman.
John Feldman.
Brother of
Uncle John's band.
Right.
John Feldman.
None of that is true. But Roland Creaky and John Feldman, 6 to 2 p.m. at the...
No, Bella, 2 to 6 p.m.
6 to 2 p.m. That's a weird time.
Yeah, your dyslexia is kicked in there.
Selective dyslexia is a serious issue that faces our... country.
It happened to me too. Don't worry.
One more time. I feel bad for these poor guys. Don't even know them. We're making fun of them for being related to Corey Feldman. And I don't. Roland Creakey and John Feldman. 2 to 6 p.m. at the Bella Vista Winery in Maryville, Illinois.
That's K-R-E-K-E if we're saying Creakey.
There it is.
Wrong,
I don't know.
And then
Creakey.
I miss Jeremy Drake. Creakey. Jeremy Drake, 2 p.m. at the cabin at Judy Creek in Glen Carbon.
There you go.
That, and then Jonathan Baker out. Is going to do a Monday at the Prairie Inn, where they always have a Monday show.
There you go, man.
And don't forget to get those kids' submissions in for that scholarship. The link at cottonmouth.org. The deadline, November 20th. So, fast approaching. You want to take a break and come back with some Frankie Muriel?
Absolutely.
The 25 years of Dr. Shebega, the big show at... Third Shoot in Alton, always a good time there. Third Shoot 2, right?
Third Shoot Deuce.
Right. And Dr. Shebega. So that's going to be good. This program is Riverbend Talent. It is brought to you by Halpa Music Company and by Mr. Matt Van Force of Macias Insurance. Riverbend Talent on the Big Z, brought to you by the Halpa Music Company and by Mr. Matt Van Force of Macias Insurance.
Matt was our guest last week. That was a lot of fun, man, having a guy like him on. He doesn't just sell insurance. He plays a mean guitar.
Yeah.
So, hey, welcome to another episode of Riverbend Talent. Tonight, our guest, Frankie Muriel. And people have been watching you play around this town for quite some time. You've been coming to Alton since late 80s. Early
oh, man. Yeah, late 80s, man, like 88, 89, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And now, at that time, first time I can remember seeing you was the band Broken Toys.
That's right.
And what'd you have going on before Broken Toys? How'd you eat?
I mean, we played at Animal House and all those places. I mean, we were kids, you know. Yeah. So we got our shot. Bill Benjamin from Stages gave us our first shot, our first night. And then the Rollins Brothers brought us in. And then we became the house band on Sunday nights at Granny's. Played all the fanny contests and we go way back with those guys.
And man, you just brought up the fanny contest, the whole wet t-shirt era.
Oh yeah, we used to judge that. Like Vito would get on the mic, and I mean, we used to be the MCs of that madness.
that whole time zone when that sort of thing was happening a lot. Smash has recently joined our station, and we were talking about his old adult party games. Kind of forgot about the adult party. Watching a girl, you know, peel a banana without using her hands, or a guy deep hit a peach without using his hand. You know,
right? I don't know if they let that stuff happen these days. It's so crazy out there. No, man.
Yeah. Man.
But we had good times, man. Good times back then.
Yeah. When I first saw you down there at Granny's Rocker, that was with Broken Toys. But tell us about Frankie Muriel before Broken Toys. How did you first find yourself following this path?
I mean, I've been playing clubs since I was 15. Cub and I, who's still the bass player in Vegas, he's been there like literally over my shoulder for, you know, 30-some years, man.
Right.
So we were playing. We used to play this place called, it was in Jerseyville, Illinois. I remember I was 15. The guys in the band were older, you know, so they drove. And we got rides with them, and we played a place called the Emergency Room in Jerseyville, Illinois. And that was like one of our first gigs, like club gigs. I was a drummer then. And we played all over on the east side. Built it up, and then Animal House, those days back then. And then I met a drummer named Vito, and he's like, we got to find a guitar player. And he knew Jimmy, or he was with Jimmy in a band called Little John, if you remember Little John back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So then he poached Jimmy from there, and then we went in the shed for, you know, the summer learning our songs, and Swain saw us, and got us a Tom Swain, and we got us a shot at Stages, and the rest is history. I think the Oris was our first actual gig. We opened up for a band called Little Sister, if you remember them from back in the day.
Nice.
And that's what got us into Granny's, and then from there, history was made.
Yeah. Well, were you in any bands before Broken Toys, or was that your first?
Yeah, well, I was in a band. We didn't have a name, so we just called it Frankie. So I played at Mississippi Nights, opening up for bands there, and, you know, slumber parties. We played slumber parties. I mean, we were teenagers, you know?
Right.
So Broken Toys was the you know, it was like high voltage in grade school or in beginning of high school. And then it was Frankie from like 18 to 20 and then 21 on. It was Broken Toys turned into King of the Hill and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the rest.
And King of the Hill. I mean, once that name change sort of came right with the signing, right?
Yeah. So we finished the record and there was like a Dangerous Toys, Z Toys. There was like three or four toys bands. So the label was like, you guys got to change your name. Again, we didn't have any ideas. We looked at our song list. We had a song called King of the Hill. So we just took it from that.
Yeah. Nice. And what year was that whenever King of the Hill, when Broken Toys flipped over?
We got signed in 1990 and the album came out in 91. So we spent 90. So really it was a fast track. You know, if I think it was 87, 88 for Broken Toys and we got our deal in 90.
Wow.
And the album came out in 91. So it was a pretty quick track, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, from the house band, from playing Sundays at Granny's to making MTV videos.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, playing theaters and arenas and touring Europe and doing all the fun stuff.
What was your first tour with King of the Hill? Who'd you tour with?
First tour, Lynch Mob took us out.
Oh,
we flew down to North Carolina or South Carolina, I can't remember. And we had just beat them on Headbangers Ball. We were the ball buster of the week, and we just beat Wicked Sensation, I think, and then we were opening up for him, so that was kind of crazy. That's where we flew out there, met the bus, you know, had our first bus driver, first road manager, and then we opened up for them up through the East Coast, crossed the, I think, West Coast as well. We were with them for a while, and then we jumped from them to Steelheart and White Lion and, I mean, you name it, we did it after that. And Extreme, we were with Extreme for a while.
Yeah.
Man. I know you've talked before about how much Extreme helped you guys out. So.
Yeah, we had the same, some people from our label were part of their management company and things like that. So we got on that tour and that was, you know, we got to play sold out arenas with somebody having a number one song. So we got to really see what that was like, you know. And we started with them and we were playing theaters. When we ended with them, it was sold out arenas. So it was a great run.
Yeah. Now, personally, what would you rather do? Would you rather play a club where you're more connected to the people or one of the big arenas?
I mean, for me, it's always been the bigger, the better. I love the outdoor festival shows, arenas, big rooms. It's just the energy. I was just built for that kind of stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I've played enough clubs in my life.
Well, we had a guy, Blake Fleming, on who, what was he, played with Mars Volta or whatever.
Dazzling Kilman.
Different. He was Kilman back in the day, but he was saying how he actually preferred the littler clubs because he could actually party with the people afterwards instead of in a back room locked away with some cheese sticks and parsley or whatever. Right under,
yeah, you're in a locker room most of the time. You're taking a shower in this cavernous thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different deal, but I just love the feedback of that many people, man. Bigger the better for me.
Yeah, like you say, the energy of that. I heard
exactly.
I heard Sting say years ago, even like after the Police and after he had his huge solo career and everything, he said, "I would much rather play to a huge arena full of people than five people in my living room because the huge arena, that's already the show. I'm just there creating music. It's like in front of five people, I get nervous because they're all looking at me.
A little different because it's just so personal. And usually we're not so personal. We're this character, this thing that we made, you know."
Right. That had to be awesome. Like when it hit there in 1990, to be able to go from Sunday's nights at Granny's Rocker to touring Europe, to touring the States. And, you know,
no, it's a dream come true. I mean, we're buying cars. We've got money. We're on MTV. We're on the radio in every city in the country that you drive through or fly into. You know, we were doing promo dates where we would be in three cities a day. You know, we'd fly into one, drive to the closest town. So like, say if it was St. Louis, fly into St. Louis, do Casey, get in your car, you go to Columbia or Springfield and do that station, and you'd hit the airport and go to the Chicago. Like, we literally did that every city in the country in like 2 weeks. It was nuts.
that sounds like a job.
Radio. It was like, it was nuts, man.
Yeah. Everyone thinks musicians are so lazy.
No. It's work. When all that stuff's happening, you know, I get that question a lot. Like, what was it like? You know, at the time, you don't even realize it because you just, it's always something. There's always a photo shoot, always an interview, always a phoner, always a call-in, always a show, always a sound check. It's like nonstop every single day. So you don't realize it until you're done. And then you're like, wow, you know, you look at the pictures, you see the videos, you hear people's stories, and then it kind of all comes back to you and you're just like, man, that was crazy. It was like, you know, I mean, not many people get to live their dream come true that they had, you know, it's like winning a lottery or, you know, all my friends, when we were kids, they wanted to be baseball players or, you know, astronauts or there are all these things. And there are accountants and they're brokers and they're, you know, teachers, and they're not the thing they wanted to be when they were a kid. And we are the thing we were when we were kids. Yeah. So it's awesome, you know?
Yeah. Hey, living the dream, man. You got, like you say, you got to love that. Most people don't.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we struggled a long time with, like, you know, we played covers as long and as much as anybody. And then we got signed and we did our own music. And I thought, oh, I'm never going to have to play covers again. This is great, you know? And then, you know, I go back to being, you know, doing a thing. But you just, it's an interesting, it's an interesting journey for sure, doing both and having done both, you know?
Yeah.
So you guys,
it's almost like you don't know if you've never done it. You always have that purity of the dream, you know. When you do it, you realize what it's really like, you know. So it's a little bit different. I wouldn't trade it for the world, man. It's the best.
I remember coming up with the idea many moons ago that Robert Johnson, when he sold his soul, when he signed that, he was signing a deal with a record label, and that was selling his soul. And when I that realized when that came to me, I was pretty young, and I thought, oh man, this is a dirty business we're all in.
Right. Oh yeah, I mean, there's that famous Hunter S. Thompson quote, you know, the hallway lined with the, you know, reptiles and all the, you know, people ready to take everything from you. And that's the good side of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys had the one King of the Hill album. You had a second one in the works, and then it all.
Yeah, no, we finished it. We turned it in. Our A&R, they accepted it. Our A&R guy got fired. I'll never forget. I got the call. Hey, you know, my manager, what are you doing? I'm working on the credits for the second record. You know, it's like, oh, hold on a minute. You know, so we got blown out after basically somebody came in, new guy. He sees stuff on the desk and is like, you know, just clears the desk and starts new, you know. And then Sony was going to put it out, but they wanted too much money from them, which made no sense. It's just like, if you don't want us, let us go. But then they wanted to try to recoup too much of it back. And it just, it's the way the business works, you know.
That was a tough time for what they call the hair bands, right? Because
oh yeah, I mean, music, the industry literally changed overnight, you know.
Yeah, grunge and even thrash metal started to become really popular during that time.
Yeah, just it ran its course like every genre does, you know. Mm-hmm.
In one night, all the girls pulled down their posters, the boys cut off their hair, and it was
that's
over.
Right.
Next morning, we woke up to a different world, man.
Well, it really
changed, man. But, you know, the good thing, it's great with that Hair Nation, and everybody kind of throws back to that era now with good vibes, you know what I mean? It's like, it was cool to see that stadium tour announced, even though it didn't happen, but it showed how resonant all the songs in that period was with people, so that's pretty cool. Well, and that, you know, we'll forever be part of it, you know?
And that was still a pretty great time in the music industry where you could have a hit song that made you money and do a tour, where now with YouTube, there's no, you know, there's not even really many albums that are, you know, I mean,
it's a whole different world, you know?
Yeah.
I look back, so you know, kinda, I had friends 10 years ago that were signed and touring, and they came back and worked at UPS and they worked at all these different places just to make a living, you know? And so now we look like geniuses because, you know, for the longest time, people are like, oh, you guys sold out, you're a cover band, bar stars, but, you know, literally, I play music every day of my life, you know, so and everybody else in the band does too. So really, you know, we came out ahead on that one, you know.
Yeah. I think David Lee Roth became a paramedic during part of that time.
I think he just did it for the stories.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's worth millions. You know, so.
He did it for the chicks. Wait a minute. Chicks in that? I don't even know. Do paramedics get more chicks than rock stars? I don't even know.
But how about a rock star paramedic? I mean, that's
now you're talking. Now you got Planet Dave.
Right.
So there you go, man. King of the Hill, man. What an amazing ride that led from 1990. That went on for several years where you guys were just touring and playing off that album, man.
Yeah, no, it was great. And you know, the cool thing is we just played, you know, we'd done a couple of reunions and we could get everybody together and the schedules worked out. But Chevegas just played a half. So we do these happy hour streams. We've been doing them since lockdown. Every Friday that we don't have a gig, we do them. And we did one where we just, you know, all the fans were kind of asking about King of the Hill. When are you going to play this? So we did just a stream of King of the Hill songs. I got 154,000 views, man. Like it nice. Blew up. Yeah. So we're thinking about doing a show where we just play King of the Hill songs, or maybe another stream of stuff on just on the second record, things like that.
Now, Dr. Shivega, you guys have been around 25 years now.
It's crazy, Jack. I mean, I thought I was going to do it for a couple of weeks, like for real. You know, that thing started out, it was just going to be fun. It was just, you know, King of the Hill was kind of imploding. The guys in Nerve, they were having issues. And they just, hey, let's just do this for fun. And we did it. Nobody caring, no pressure. It was just like really, I think that's really the ultimate reason we're still successful, is that we just did it and we still have fun doing it. And when you have fun doing something, it's infectious and people pick up on that. It's not just making the donuts. You know, we still have a good time. I still enjoy, you know, selling smiles, making people have fun. And that's how it started. And it just literally connected and blew up overnight. We went from, you know, Boomers to Kennedys to selling out Mississippi Nights to doing Mississippi Nights two nights in a row to selling out the pageant. Like, it was just crazy. And people still come. We're still, you know, at the top of the food chain around, you know, in the bi-state and really across the country. We are like the guys that they call to, you know, play the casino rooms and things like that. And we opened up the Hard Rock in Atlantic City last year. So it's still happening, you know, which has been really fortunate for us.
Now, you had your own venue at one point, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah, it got so big, we started asking for the part of the ring instead of just the door. So first we'd get the door, which not many, you know, bands were doing. Then we started getting a percentage of the ring. And then we were like, man, we should just have our own place, which that's like a blessing and a curse. I don't know if I'd recommend that to people. It's like they say about buying a boat. You know, the best days, the day you get it, the day you sell it to the next guy, you know. So that's what having a restaurant bar is like, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, King of the Hill had that funk thing going. And then you get in Dr. Shivega and you really push it toward the funk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always loved that kind of music. Growing up, you know, my dad was a Latin percussionist, so I was exposed to quite a lot of music. Had older brothers and sisters, so I got my rock fix my brother. I got my disco and dance and Elton John and Billy Joel for my sister. So I was just always like a big mix. You know, I was always into Prince, but I was always into Van Halen. So it was just like this crazy mix of the two, you know?
Well, Prince and Van Halen, I mean, come on, man. That how could you
I mean, have that's both of those? What I'm made of, you know what I mean? Like you put that in a blender and that's what popped out, you know, me at 18, you know?
I think you had talked about, you know, Dr. Shivega plays the songs that people want, and that's what's been successful for you guys, a lot of dance music, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I saw the best, you know, they're rolling all these quotes from Eddie Van Halen lately since he passed away. And one of his quotes was like, at some point, music is for the people. And if you want to play it for yourself, you play in the closet. But at some point, it's for the people, so you have to do what the people want, you know? And in his case, he was talking about going back out with Dave because that's what people wanted to see. And in our case, it's, you know, some of these bands, they ask, well, man, you know, how can we get these gigs? You got to play what people want. If you want people to come and see you, you have to play what they want to hear. You know, it's pretty simple. You know, there's certain things that are just the way it is, you know? And in our case, you know, I've seen it. You can't just have a lot of people there. Because bars are there to sell drinks, right? They're not there to host your band or to make you popular, or they're there to sell alcohol. So if you pack a room and no one's drinking, you're not worth it to the owners. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to put people in there that drink, and that's what we do, and that's what we've done for 25 years.
I was just told that last year by a venue owner. I had held a festival at for 3 years, and he said, your people don't drink enough. You all smoke.
It's true. That's literally why they keep the lights on, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, no one does us any favors. You know what I mean? Even if you love music, you got to still keep the lights on.
Right. You know? If you want to have a place to put the music on, there's got to be a place.
Right. And you got to keep that place open. And you got to do that by giving people what they want, man. And the agent and the booking agent and the club owner, they have to put in what people want. People have to see it. pay to want to see it and drink their asses off, and then the place stays alive. You know what I mean?
So you got a venue this Saturday in town. Of course, we pre-recorded this. By the time it airs, it'll be this Saturday coming up, third shoot in Alton. You guys are going
to... Yeah, we love those guys, man. We love that place, too. It's been really fun. We did a little King of the Hill set there, too, with a few of the original guys. So that was a good time. Yeah, great guys. I love the venue. It's big enough. People have a good time. There's a lot of overflow for outside, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah, they got an interesting little place out there with their boat parked outside.
And they're doing it right, man. They're good guys, and we have a lot of fun, and they take care of us, you know, there. So I appreciate them.
That club's been there a long time. Did you happen to play it back in the day with Broken Toys?
What was it called back in the day?
Richards. Richards. Yeah.
I don't think I did, no.
Or the club, maybe?
It was called the club for a while. It was called Richards for probably about 20 years or more. It was pretty rough.
When we played in Alton, we always played at Granny's. And then there was another place I can't remember, a little further up. I can't remember them.
Huh.
Yeah, Fast Eddie's, all the usual stops.
Right, yeah. I remember seeing you guys down there at Granny's. And like I say, that time, like right at the late end of the 80s, early 90s, man, the Granny's Rocker in Alton was a...
Man, it was crazy. I remember when they opened it up, because we'd been playing at Edwardsville for a few years.
Yeah.
Before they opened it up.
Yeah, for us, that was a score for a few years, because they brought in good bands. Everybody had good quality.
I mean, they used to have shows. I mean, you know, I remember we played for some nationals that came through before we got signed.
You played with who?
Some nationals that came through. We opened up for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They'd get, like, autograph and stuff like that down there. It'd be cool. Yeah. You know?
So we used to open up for the bands that came through and play our originals and stuff when we were putting them together.
Right. Nice. Nice, man. Congratulations on all the success, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Getting to live the dream of just being a rock star.
You know, I can't complain, man. And, you know, the fans have been good to me since, you know, 87, man, 84, really. I mean, even when I was high school and I couldn't have this life, I couldn't do what I do. I literally do whatever I want every day, and I'm doing it with guys that I want to do it with, and it's really because of fans. Because if nobody came and saw us, we wouldn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, right. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And, 25 years too with Dr. Shebega, and as you mentioned a little bit earlier, that's allowed you to stay in the music industry and continue to work. Where some of those bands you toured with back in the day with King of the Hill, some of those guys, you know, they're not even working in the business anymore.
No. We've been full-time music. I've been a full-time musician since I was 15 years old. Never had another job in my life. And that is a blessing that I do not take lightly, man, you know? Yeah. And again, it's only because of fans, old school, new fans. I mean, we're like generational now, man. Like, Vegas, we've got, like, people come and see us, say their parents love us, you know? Which is a trip, because we don't feel that old, but we've been doing this a long time. But, you know, it's only because of what we built on from everybody that supports us, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you guys played all over the country too. Matter of fact, had a steady gig out in Vegas for a while, right?
Yeah, we had a residency. That was 2009. You talk about record deals. That was like having a record deal, not paying the money back. We flew out there every week.
Wow.
So we didn't have to take our luggage. My stuff was in the hotel in like a road case, and they'd roll it up to my suite, and I would fly out on Wednesdays. But we played Ameristar on Wednesdays, fly out there on Thursdays. I would do press, sit in with guys at the Hard Rock and stuff. The band would fly in Friday. We play Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday, fly home on Monday or Sunday. Wow. Every week for like a year. It was crazy, crazy money, crazy times. You know, people flew in to see us from St. Louis. It was a blast. Had billboards there and everything. It was nuts.
And now you guys getting into the tribute thing with the Prince thing, right? You got a show coming up at the Pageant.
Yep, Pageant, November 27th. There's some tickets still left. It's very limited seating. So that's like a 2,000-seater, and it's only like 300-and-something seats. So it's really spread out. It's going to be kind of weird, but we're glad to have a chance to do it. We love doing that show. It came off as another whim. You know, we had the night off, and Prince had just passed away. And we thought, hey, let's just play Prince songs all night. And I put a post out, and it sold out. So then we did a second night. That sold out. So we've been doing it for the last few years now. We've done it at Ballpark Village. We've done it at Rock House. We've done it at Delmar Hall. Sold that out. So this year we're going to do it at the pageant. So it should be fun.
Yeah, people
seem anything that's like just a little bit of normal is great.
Yeah, people seem to really like the tributes. I mean, your old bandmate Jimmy Griffin doing an outstanding job with El Monstero.
Yeah, he knocks a couple out. I think he does the Petty, does the Zeppelin. You know,
Celebration Day. Celebration Day, El Monstero. Yeah, that's good stuff. I haven't seen Jimmy for a few years, but he played in the Dave Glover Band. he was playing with I was on the Glover show at the time when he was playing in it, so I hung out with him and Quinn and those cats back then. So yeah, man, those you guys all you do a great job, and I'm happy for you that you figured out a way to make it work for you,
because so appreciate it. Thank you.
Working for Amazon delivering packages and stuff.
No man, still rocking and rolling, which is great.
Yeah. So when you guys do the Prince thing, I'm sure you blow it up, right? Pull lights and everything, right?
Oh yeah, we'd always do that. You know us, we do it right. It's like a full experience. It's great. It's a fun show. It takes a lot out of me, man. Like, I'm not used to that. You got to work up to that one. That takes a lot out of you, but it's a fun show. I mean, he's the irreplaceable, and we're not trying to copy anybody. We're not trying to imitate anybody. We're just trying to do justice to the time period. We only do the era of Purple Rain. We only do the era with Revolution. So it's the earlier stuff. I think it's when he was just in his prime, those golden albums. So we base that off kind of that Purple Rain tour, that era. Yeah. But it's a fun show, for real.
So people probably get a little taste of Prince Saturday when you guys play here in Alton.
We might do a couple songs. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Right on. So that's coming up October 31st. It's the Halloween show. Third shoot Halloween here in Alton.
Last year. It looks like an annual deal now with us.
What's that?
It's an annual thing now. We did it last year. So
Awesome. So that's everyone needs to remember that. Head on out this Saturday night, October 31st is Halloween. Head out to see Dr. Gervais down Third Shoot in Alton. Also, like we said, the November 27th is the Prince show at the pageant. And the happy hour shows, how often are you guys doing those?
Yeah.
We were doing them every Friday because we were off, obviously. But now we're working more. So just hit us on Facebook. Check our page out. And we always announce when we're going to do one, if it's going to do one that week, you know.
So COVID shut everything down, and you guys were scrambling to find something to do during that
time? Oh, man, I mean, we're booked, you know, a year out, and all of a sudden we had nothing, man, you know.
Right.
The lake saved us. But, yeah, so we just started thinking, like, well, let's just jam. And, you know, it's a lot looser. We were doing it at home. I'm making cocktails. It's like a happy hour. And then they're only about 35, 45 minutes. So it's just kind of us having fun and having cocktails and kind of not taking it as serious as we do with our big production shows.
Well, and kudos on learning the technology that quick and getting stuff out, you know, right after all that went down. Because
it took me a few different tries of things. And, you know, we've come up with a little system that works for us. And it's a good time. You have to tune into them or check them out. Some of them, we've had some pretty good ones. Like the last one, we just did a tiki party. But we did some fun. We did like Eastbound and Down for Smokey and the Bandit. We did Viva Las Vegas. Like, we did some really great, fun stuff. And for us, it's fun because we learn in songs that we don't normally play, don't usually play, or would never play. So it's been fun for us to do something a little bit different, you know. And the fans seem to like it because it is something different. They got something to look forward to. And we're having fun. Again, we're having fun doing it, you know.
Now, are the fans able to comment during those? Or, you know, because
comment. They post their stuff. They share it. And they talk about it. And so it's been a good time. And one really cool thing we did, I saw a post from Play It Forward. And they needed there was a need for an instrument for a kid who kind of got, you know, bad situation, got taken out of his home, put in a safe house. He was in protective custody. And he wanted a tuba. I guess he didn't get, they left so fast he couldn't take his instruments. So he was really sad about it. And I saw this post. So I had all our fans donate in like 2 days. We raised the money, and tubas are expensive, man.
Yeah.
We went and got one. I ordered one, took it over to a kid, and that was a good time. So I want to thank all our fans for helping us do that. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks to you for doing it and all the fans who chipped in, because that's a lot of brass in the tuba. They don't come.
Man.
And we need all the kids to play music because they're the next generation of musicians.
That's right, man. You know, and music takes music is a healing thing. It fixes people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was doing a little research before the interview, and I know you met a lot of people, but one name that jumped out at me was Bootsy Collins. Did you meet Bootsy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. A couple times. He was a sweet man, very cool, you know.
So did you meet
very soft-spoken, and he actually bought one of my bass guitars. I had a Vox bass, old-school 60s Vox bass with a fuzz switch on it, and he bought it off me.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That guy can please.
It was like, I guess it was one like he played when he was younger, or he played when he was with James Brown, and he was like, oh, I got to have this bass. And our old guitar player, Didi, knew him, played with him, was his guitar player before Chevegas, and he hooked it up, and yeah, it was cool.
Nice. Did you meet any of the other guys in Parliament?
I've met George, I've met Boogie, met a couple of the side guys. Bernie Worrell.
There's the man.
No, Bernie flew to Vegas and played with us one weekend. Oh. It was man, we're talking about either maybe putting out an album of all these old lives tracks that we got, and the nights with him were unbelievable. And he gave us like the coolest compliments, you know, Cub on bass. And he was just telling me, he's like, man, you guys got it, man. And this guy's played with everybody, you know?
Yeah, Bootsy. He's been sampled by more people than anybody, I think.
Right, it was so cool, man. That was a highlight for sure.
Yeah, Bernie and Bootsy were my favorite out of Parliament. They were the two
guys
who made it happen. I mean, George is cool. I like George, but, you know.
But those guys were just unbelievable.
Bootsy and Bernie made the music happen, man. I mean, all of them, those guys stuck out. So, man, that's awesome.
That's super cool. Yeah, Bernie wore out.
There you go. So,
rest in peace.
There you go, man. So, we've been talking to Frankie Muriel, he was most famous from King of the Hill back in the 90s. I liked him with Broken Toys.
I think Dr. Chevega's outdone King of the Hill now. I mean, 25
years. Been around a lot longer. You know?
25 years of Dr. Chevega's, and you can help celebrate that 25 years this Saturday night at the Third Shoot in Alton with the Halloween party. Get dressed up and go out and get crazy.
Yeah, man, we'll see you there. I know they do a costume contest. It's always a good time there, man. Those guys are fun.
And then down the line, you get the Prince tribute.
November 27th. Prince
tribute. And we may do another King of the Hill stream, or, you know, we may even do a little show where Dr. Z plays Cough. So we'll see how that goes.
That's cool.
Nice. We got a really good response, so we might do that again, yeah.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for that, and we'll definitely announce it when it comes time. Man.
Awesome. So all right, thanks, guys.
If people want to get a hold of you and check you out, how do they find you on Facebook?
Dr. Chevegas.
Dr. Chevegas.
Yeah, Frankie DRZ on Instagram or drchevegas.com.
There you go. So check him out on Instagram, check him out on Facebook, and check him out for sure at Third Shoot in Alton on October 31st. Thanks so much, Frankie, for hanging out with us.
All right, I'll see you guys. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, buddy. We'll see you down there at Third Shoot, man.
All right, peace out.